To the Lord be the thanks for the great privilege that we are not only gathered here in His name, but also there we will be forever together. The promise that God has given goes far beyond time. Here we start with God, but it never ends. It is just the beginning, but no end. Earthly things have their beginning, they have their end. That, what God does, starts, but it never ends. About this we are happy, and by it we also know that we received eternal life. Eternity never began and therefore can never end. Yesterday we still had a little meeting after the service. I was expecting 3 or 4 people who would come for prayer, and it turned out to be 30 or 40. And we were glad about the impact of the word. Sometimes the one who has to present it has the impression that it didn't reach at all. But if one later on notices what the word accomplished, then one is even more happy. I would like to, with all them who dedicated their lives to God, I would like to sing with them now the wonderful song, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. The greatest assurance which can be given to a man on earth is this assurance. There is a German saying, knowledge is power. But this knowledge here is God's power. It is a blessed assurance. Let me start with Ezra. You all know, we mainly deal with the fulfillment of Bible prophecy. Here in Ezra, chapter 1, we have a wonderful word. Ezra, chapter 1, from verse 1. Here it says, now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and put it also in writing, saying,
folgende Verfügung in seinem ganzen Reiche auszurufen und auch durch schriftlichen Erlass bekannt zu geben. So spricht
Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has charged me to build him an house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. And now comes the important verse. Who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is the God who is in Jerusalem. Only this thought I want to emphasize briefly. The prophet Jeremiah prophesied that Israel would be 70 years in captivity. When this time came to its end, it happened. What happened? What happened? And there we read so wonderfully that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled.
Jeremias geweissagt worden war.
When the time of fulfillment came, the Lord stirred up the spirit of this king who ruled the world at that time and laid the thought into his heart what he should do. The time was come to rebuild the temple of the Lord that was torn down. And already the decree was made, and it says here so nicely, who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him. The same I wish for myself and all of us. He who is part of his people, may the Lord be with him, our God. And then it continues, let him not remain sitting where he is, but let him go up to Jerusalem in Judah and rebuild the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is the God who is in Jerusalem. What was it? In that time in which God's word came to fulfillment, the Spirit of God began to work. And if there are earthly kings necessary for it, then God can also use them as he likes. What is important here is the following. God had chosen a place where his sanctuary is supposed to be, and his people who are at home there. He also had chosen Jerusalem as the place on earth on which he wanted to manifest himself. And they were not allowed to build the house somewhere, but they had to return. They had to remove the old rubble that remained of the torn down house. They had to excavate the old foundation walls to rebuild upon the original foundation. The same applies to our time and for the church of the living God. The word of God went forth from Jerusalem and the teaching from Mount Zion. Our Lord and the apostles worked there, and from there the true gospel went forth. Now, the time of the Babylonian captivity is over. I think here on the writing of Dr. Martin Luther with the title The End of the Babylonian Captivity. Still some centuries passed, but now it is really over. The Roman yoke is broken. People who belong to God, arise and return to the original proclamation of the apostles and prophets. They get rid of everything what they have been burdened with during the time and want to be rebuilt unto a holy temple in the Spirit to offer unto God the right sacrifices. To us, the message is addressed today. He who is part of his people, God doesn't need nominal members. He wants to have people who believe, who trust, who obey him. Who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. You all know, in Nehemiah, in chapter 8, it's written then of the dedication. God had given grace that this house was built. And it says in Nehemiah, in chapter 8, in the last part of verse 9, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. And then the second part of verse 11, hold your peace, for the day is holy, neither be ye grieved. It was a toilsome work, persecution left, tribulations right, but God was with them and helped them, because it was the fulfillment of His promise, and the hour in which history was made, the hour of God has come, and therefore the day was holy unto the Lord, because He could work among His people according to His word. Let me say it here today very clearly. God is not interested at all in all the religious doings and in pious behavings. He seeks people to whom He can reveal Himself and His word. People who become His possession, who do not wear a pious mask, but who believe with all their heart, and who also put into practice what He has said, and who have part in that what He does. The whole world is full of religion. And you know, I recently spoke to an ambassador of an Eastern European country. And this man had to say something to me concerning the religious life. And you can see how the interference of religion in the state is not the right thing to do. If people who belong to God really serve Him, then they have enough to do without politics. Also without pious politics, without religious politics. You know what I mean, but this is not our subject. Our subject is that God has a people on earth, a church, a program, a plan that we recognize and into which we have to let ourselves be placed. It says in Ezekiel, in chapter 43, from verse 4, as follows. Ezekiel 43, from verse 4. And the glory of the Lord came into the house by the way of the gate whose prospect is toward the east. So the Spirit took me up and brought me into the inner court. And behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house. And I heard Him speaking unto me out of the house. And the man stood by me. And he said unto me, Son of man, the place of my throne, the place of the soles of my feet, where I will dwell in the midst of the children of Israel forever. What a word! This place was on earth. And yet, the Lord says, this is the place of my throne and the place of the soles of my feet. God does not only dwell in heaven, God also dwells on earth, in the hearts of those who have become God's possession. We together make up the body of the Lord, the temple of God. And here we read that the glory of the Lord came into the temple. The prophet saw exactly from where it came. He could describe and say, it came through the eastern gate. If we read in the Old or New Testament of the glory of God, then it is not just a term, then this was a divine fact. The glory of the Lord was in the supernatural cloud. The same glory of the Lord was visible when the announcement was given, "To you is born today the Savior." Then the glory of the Lord shone around them. That's how we read it in the Gospels. What was it? The glory of the Lord was the supernatural cloud, the radiance, the majesty, the cloud into which God was veiled in the Old Testament. The same cloud of glory appeared to Saul on the way to Damascus. And he asked, when he saw the bright light, "Who art thou?" And the answer was, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest." God is alive. He can reveal himself. He has revealed himself. And he can reveal himself in various ways. Of course, his personal revelation happened in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But God also revealed himself supernaturally in the fire, in the cloud, and in the glory. That's how we can read it in many places. Here, this I would like to emphasize. We are told, "And I heard him speaking unto me out of the house, and the man stood by me." And he said unto me, "Son of man, the place of my throne and the place of the soles of my feet, where I will dwell in the midst of the children of Israel forever." Has God not announced, "I will dwell among them and I will be their God. I will give them a new heart and a new spirit"? God had given the promises. What is so great here is probably the following: that the Almighty God comes down in such a way to people who are unworthy, people who would go astray with their hearts if God would not correct them. And yet, God revealed himself over and again and had people who recognized it and who also experienced it. The place of his throne was his sanctuary on which his people gathered to come into his presence and to hear his word. There is today the place of his sanctuary. God is present. Let us worship and come in reverence before him. We must have the right reverence before God and before his word and know that he promised to be in our midst. Yes, to walk amongst us. Where shall he walk today? Of course, amidst the seven golden candlesticks. That's how we read it in Revelation chapter 2 and 3. And these candlesticks represent the New Testament church. So, where does the Lord walk? Where does he speak? Where does he reveal himself? Of course, in his church. Where is his church? Who belongs to his church? There are, of course, hundreds of various directions. Also, this must be said very clearly. The church of the living God is not an institution which is called into existence by men. It is not a registered association. It is what it is, namely the church of the living God, of which Jesus Christ said in Matthew 16, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Church of the living God is there, where it is being fulfilled what the Lord promised her. 1 Corinthians 12, 28, Ephesians 4, verse 11, God has set into the church apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists. Church of the living God is there where a living organism of believers finds together to hear the word of the Lord, to see Him walking in our midst, and to receive that what He said in obedience of faith. There, where the Lord can set into the church, namely setting the ministries which He ordained for the edification of the church. Oh, how everything became so different if we compare it with the early church. In the course of church history, the original things set by God in an order was all put away. Human institutions, always new denominations, came forth. There is only one direction, and this must be the divine direction. If it is the divine direction, then it lines up with His word, and then we have to align accordingly. We don't say to God what He has to do. We let ourselves be said by Him what we have to do. Here, the prophet was told, "Son of man, this is the place of my throne. There God thrones, there God dwells, there He walks, there He speaks, there He works. And where all this takes place, there is the church of the living God. There are people who were put together to this living organism." Church of the Lord is really not a pious club, not a denomination, but a composition of true believers who want to walk the whole way with God. As I indicated earlier, the Lord always left a remnant who believed Him and trusted Him. That's how it will also be now. That's how it was in every spiritual revival and renewing. Not the masses, but the individuals who were called out of the masses. They were the ones who gathered before God to hear what was preached to them from the Word. In Romans chapter 11, from verse 4, we read the following. Romans chapter 11, from verse 4. "But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then is it no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace." Clear and brief, Paul has set forth how it was in the days of Elijah, so it is also in our days. According to the election of grace. What is election of grace? maybe just a brief thought about it. You all know that God is omniscient. He knew before the foundation of the world who would accept salvation and who would not accept it. So he could already, before the foundation of the world, write the names of those who would become believers into the Lamb's Book of Life. I believe that God has in these days a remnant who hears his call, who responds to it, who gathers in the presence of God, and who turns away from everything what is not of God, and thus is not in agreement with the Word of God. No man can agree with God unless he agrees with his Word. The agreement with God happens under the clear and pure proclamation of the Word of God. And in the moment where people hear the Word of God and believe it, the Spirit of God begins to work, and only then they recognize the truth. And this divine recognized truth makes them free then from all error, for only then they are able to detect the error, also the religious error in which they were in. God has a way to speak with the people, and this always happens through the Word. If I want to communicate, then I always use my voice and then I speak. If God wants to communicate, then he speaks, then he talks with us. And he does not speak by heart, he speaks inwardly. That means he says to us and reveals to us what he already said in his Word. There is no need that a new Bible is being written. This is not necessary at all. There are only people needed who have become new, as we heard it in the word of introduction. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The old, the undivine, resists the Spirit of God. And therefore Paul writes to the Corinthians, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit. They are foolishness to him. We first have to be born again by the Spirit of God to then have access to the spiritual things. Otherwise, they remain foolishness to us. According to the word of the Lord, God has also in this time kept a remnant as he did then. Are you not glad to be part of this remnant? God has called us out from here and there, from everywhere. He knew, provided he speaks with us, we will believe him. The worst what can happen to a person is that he does not believe God. And therefore the word is written in the Gospel of John, if we don't believe him, we will die in our sin. The Gospel of John 8, verse 24. Here it says, Gospel of John 8, verse 24. I said therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Man does not die the eternal death because he sinned. Man dies the eternal death, or the second death, as the book of Revelation calls it, only because he does not believe that Jesus took away the sin and guilt from us and atoned and has given us back the righteousness of God as if we have never sinned. A person who received and accepted the redemption through Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and who experienced it personally, stands in the presence of God as if he had never sinned, as if he never transgressed the word, perfectly justified. Can you understand this? For us, a bit too high, but that's how it truly is. A total justification of God that was given to mankind by the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ. Therefore, the faith is necessary for salvation, not the works, not that what we are able to do, not religion, not good works, but the faith in Jesus Christ, who died in our stead on the cross of Calvary. And therefore the Lord says, if you don't believe that I am he, then you will die in your sins. He is the I am, and he will remain it until all eternities. He has come to give us eternal life by his grace. Can you believe on him with all your heart? Can you believe that it is really him, even today? Not only that he was, but he is today, and that we can receive today the reconciliation with God through the faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. Because we will have after this service a water baptism, let me briefly read from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, and then the corresponding scriptures in the book of Acts. Mark, chapter 16, from verse 14. Here the following is written. Afterward he appeared unto the 11, as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them who had seen him after he was risen. You see what it's about faith. They even didn't want to believe then, when witnesses came there and said, we have seen him who is risen. And there may be people today who have difficulties when we tell them we experienced God. If we tell them we have come to the faith, then there are people who are upset and say, who are you? Who are you? Not who are we or I or you. That's not the question. The question is totally different. What have we, and I include all of us, what have we done with the offer of grace? The Lord only prepares the table before us. Eating and drinking we have to do ourselves. And most of the people don't take it because they don't see the offer of grace or don't take it seriously. The Lord rebuked their unbelief and their hardness of heart because they didn't believe them who have seen him after his resurrection. Now it says in verse 15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Faith is the requirement to get saved. Faith is the requirement to receive forgiveness of sins, salvation, healing, everything what God has prepared for us in Christ was placed upon the foundation of faith. You all know in the prophet Isaiah 53, the Lord is described in his suffering, And right there it says in verse 1, Isaiah 53, verse 1, who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? The question is about believing. Every time when the Lord spoke with the people, he asked, do you believe that I can do this to you? And when the one concerned answered, yes, I believe, then the Lord spoke again and said, as thou hast believed, so be done unto thee. The belief in God and God's word, in his truthfulness, in his promises and their fulfillment is necessary for salvation. Unbelief is as the sin of witchcraft. People are in the ban of unbelief because they cannot receive what God offers to them and promised to them. May today, by this simple proclamation of the word, have been worked living faith in God and his word, in the gospel of our salvation, in all who have heard the word by the Holy Spirit. It will and shall not return void, but accomplish for what it was sent for. Isaiah asked, who has believed our report, our message, our gospel? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Already since years, I have said, to all who believe God, to them the arm of the Lord is revealed. If we want that to us the arm of the Lord is revealed, then we must believe God, not in an institution, not in a man. Then we must believe God. And I think this should not be difficult for us, not only to believe in the existence of God. This is not enough. This all the Muslims do, many do it. The salvation is therein that we believe that the only God revealed himself in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, personally as the Savior of the world here on this earth, and that he has paid the price once for all through the holy divine blood, and thus giving us the reconciliation by grace. Whoever believes this can be saved without going one single time to church. I don't know exactly what I said just now, but probably it was correct. Not an institution, but really the faith. Oh, that the whole world could once more hear it and experience it. That everything what comes from man cannot stand before God and actually merges in self-deception. Only what God called into existence and put in order will and can stand before him. We have to walk on God's way, for only this way leads to the destination. I hope that we understand it. Here it says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Today we address the word to all whom the Lord adds anew. We are glad about it. It is still the time of grace. The Lord still calls. And we still have to read it in the book of Acts, namely in chapter 2. There Peter and all who were with him experienced something very wonderful. Many were added and believed. It says in Acts chapter 2 from verse 38, maybe we also read 37. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. What a wonderful impact on the day of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. You know very well, it was not only the sermon that was preached there, although it was brief and clear, it was the Holy Spirit that was poured out after a mighty rushing wind came from heaven and the people were coming together, because God worked there in a supernatural way. If God starts to work in a supernatural way, then the Spirit of God is upon the gathering. He convicts of sin, of unbelief, and he places all things biblically so that people come to believe in Jesus Christ. Not a conversation with flesh and blood, not a learning of a catechism to convert from one religion to the other. No, the full salvation is offered to us in Jesus Christ our Lord. We have to, as the people of Israel then, after the captivity, not returning to Rome, but to Jerusalem, there where all prophets and apostles spoke in the name of the Lord, there where God confirmed, back to the place which he called his place of manifestation. This is the place of my throne and the place of the soles of my feet. So, there he went up and down. Even when he became man, he went up and down in Jerusalem. How grateful we can be that God has revealed unto us his word in this time once more in the original clarity as a divine liberating truth. The time of error and darkness is then over. Those who sat in darkness have seen a bright light. That's how Isaiah writes it already in chapter 9. Also we, who we sat in darkness, have seen a bright light. Paul writes of this light in 2 Corinthians in chapter 4. As follows, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, here it says in verse 4, In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. What a powerful word. You notice already, it is about the core of the matter, about the Redeemer and the redeemed. This is what it is about. It's not about some secondary teachings or knowledges, but about the knowledge of God that gave light to us in the face of Jesus Christ that shines even today. Have we all seen it? People are still puzzling today who Jesus Christ is or was. For us, He is the one as He is described here. We preach unto you Jesus Christ as the Lord. And there is only one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. That's how we can read it in the letter to the Ephesians. May God give grace today that all who are newly added, that they understand. Here, it is not possible to join a fellowship. We have no membership cards here or membership books. Here are no club members. Here are only members. That's a big difference. The body of the Lord consists only of members, not of club members. A club consists of club members, but the church of the living God consists of members who were put together and who have been submitted under Jesus, our Savior, as the head. May it once more please God with the sword of His Spirit to strike into the religious bushwhack, to lead the people out of the religious captivity and to transfer them into the divine liberty. It is still written, all whom the Son sets free are free indeed. We no longer need to be enslaved, not doing anymore what people command us, and this throughout our whole life. Yes, how many? It were millions and billions to whom all their life was said what they must do to be saved. And after they went home, the same people then who commanded them their doings, they found out that they have not been saved at all, that they didn't go up, but that they went down. And then they had to bring to the bereaved the sad news that something must be paid, that things go forward down there. What a deception! And this in the name of Christianity and in the name of God. To this greatest deception on earth, may God make an end to it. Every man has the right to once in his life hear the truth. And today we have heard it. Everybody can do with it what he likes. I personally advise us that we place ourselves on God's side, believing and trusting Him, and then doing what He has said. All who believed were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of their sins. This means they believed that their sins were forgiven by the blood of the Lamb. And as a confirmation that they believed that their sins were forgiven by the blood of the Lamb, they made a covenant of a good conscience with God by water baptism, namely to the confirmation that they believe that their sins were forgiven to them. Today it is the same. All who can believe that God has forgiven you in Christ, receive it today as a gift from God. A gift is offered, but it has to be received, accepted today. And then I say to you what is written in the Gospel of John in chapter 1. All who received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God, even to them who believe on his name. Today we spoke about faith. He who believes does not need to die in his sins. He who believes sees him who died for our sins. And hear this mighty acquittal. It is finished. I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. It is a happy, a saving message. Receive it today. The greatest offer that can be made to a person on this earth is this divine offer of grace, of forgiveness, of salvation, and of eternal life. Receive it. God keeps what he promises. The believer goes out free because he recognizes that our chastisement was laid upon the Lamb of God, so that we might have peace, and by his stripes we were healed. We could continue with scriptures and with preaching. I think we want to leave it now to the Lord, that he can let the word which we heard work in us. And he will do it. Believe it, and it will happen with you and on you, for the glory of his name, and to you for your eternal salvation. Amen. Let us stand up and pray. As all heads are bowed and we remain in prayer before the Lord, I would like to ask whether those who dedicate their life to God would have the courage to raise their hands and by it testify that they would like to walk the whole way with the Lord and are also ready to be baptized, namely into his name. Today, you shall not only believe on his name, today his name shall be called upon you. Today, you shall be baptized into the wonderful name of Jesus. If you love him and accepted his offer of grace and are ready to dedicate your life fully to the Lord, that you repented of your sins, that you felt an inward contrition, and by the Spirit of God you were led to repentance, and you recognized that you were separated from God, lost, without hope in this world, and then go on one step and recognize that God in Christ has stretched forth to you the hand of reconciliation and has shed the blood of reconciliation to redeem you, and you receive it now by faith, then raise your hands while all heads are bowed and the eyes are closed. How many are here? God bless the brothers there. May God bless all who made the decision to walk from now on with the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We raise all our hands and sing the chorus, Just as I am. Meine Kraft, nur du allein.
Sünden rein, o Gottes Lamm, ich komm, ich komm.
Heavenly Father, you have seen the hands and the hearts. Faithful God, we commit unto you our newly added brothers and sisters, and we ask you, receive and accept them by your grace. Penetrate them with a heavenly joy, with your divine peace, that they know in the deepest part of their soul that they have crossed from death into life, that a totally new phase of life starts for them, a life with God. O faithful Lord, we ask you, prepare the way for them, be the strength to them in every hour, O Lord, be with them, even it might go through dark valleys. Faithful Lord, we believe, based upon your word, that you accepted them. For you say, no one who comes to me I will in no wise cast out. For all whom the Father has given unto me, they come to me, and I give them eternal life. Lord, we thank you for it. We believe that it is so as you said, and that they received now forgiveness, grace, salvation, and eternal life. For they have come to you. We thank you so much, you, the living God, that you quickened unto us your word. Lord, work through your Holy Spirit in a mighty way, in our midst, yes, in our country, all over the earth. Save still many and reveal yourself to them who ask for you and all who look for you. Let yourself be found by them. Lord, Almighty God, once again we thank you with all our hearts for everything what you have done and what you will still do. In Jesus' holy name, amen.